Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
You know, what's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And of course, what do we have? More of the same. More of the same garbage. More of the same crap. And isn't it amazing how everything has been dealt back to what the Federal Reserve is going to do? Now, again, it comes to me that we have a lot more problems in this country, in the world, other than looking at what the central banks have planned. And when did the central banks become the main key point of what we do and what we look for? What do they have to do with growth in this country? Oh, nothing. Gee, what a shock. You know, what they have is the ability to take care of monetary policy. And they've done a pretty horseshit job with that. They've done a brutal job of managing the economy, of managing what we think should be the overall views of everybody. But of course, we're in a time here that we have to take care of. And, you know, we've got the too big to fail words. And when did anybody become too big to fail? I mean, we have countries failing, okay? And certainly, at some point, if we don't do something, we could be one of them. You know, we tend to forget that countries are no different than corporations. They take in taxes. They run a business to run the country. Okay? But they are the same as any other business, whether it be small or large. You have X amount of dollars to spend, and, you know, you have to spend it wisely. And, of course, because government has grown so big, we don't do a great job at spending it wisely. We actually do a pretty poor job based on the salaries, based on the pension plans, starting at the top with the government. Think about the dollars that are spent on really nothing, okay? Basically giving it away to, you know, you get a term in Congress, you get a pension. I mean, now again, I'm not against that more than I'm against the way that we operate and run things. And as we look into the future, it doesn't look to be like we're going to be getting a lot better at what we're doing. Because you hear things like, well, he's not equipped because he's not a politician. When did politician become a profession? I was always under the impression that when you were running a business, you ran a business to make a profit. You ran a business to support those who helped build that corporation. And I didn't know that there was a special requirement that you had to know how to politic or raise money to be successful. I didn't realize you had to know the inner workings of how to scam and cheat people out of their money so that you could take care of yourself. I didn't realize that raising money to run for office meant that somebody could buy my opinion or buy my vote. To me, I find those things troubling. Because as I look at it, I go, well, why is that a benefit to me? I mean, if you consider Hillary Clinton a professional politician, if you look at it, what good has she really done? Well, she's been able to scam the mercantile. She's been able to been in a number of things that were part of her and Slick Willie. Okay, but what has she done to benefit the United States of America? Okay, when is it necessary? You know, because I've got the biggest amount of money to throw away. You know, when are we going to realize and look at the picture and say, maybe this is not the correct way. Maybe this is not what our founding fathers had in mind. And, you know, you can look back in history at some great quotes from them. And they are specifically addressing things that are happening today. You know, where did it become the way to be when we have to worry about what the money situation is going to be coming from donors? When did we have to decide that the banks were the only game in town, and without them we would die? Now, again, I'm not saying that the banks are not important. I understand the importance of the financial institution, but I certainly don't understand the importance now of the way they're run. And of course, if we look at what's going on and we continue to see regulation after regulation after regulation be put upon these institutions as well as us, where do we get the ability to move forward? Okay. It seems to me, from my standpoint, and I'm only one guy, but it seems to me that we have a government, we have a country shifting from free market, entrepreneurship, build it. This is the one place you can come to and, you know, turn in, you know, a little money into a lot of money. Hard work can make you rich. It seems to me that we have now kind of prevented all of our people from having that very opportunity. And I find that sad, looking at where we are, because where else but America can somebody come from nowhere and become somebody? Okay, where else can somebody, you know, be born into poverty and end up being potentially the richest person in the world? Okay, you don't have these kind of opportunities. But it seems to me that we're getting more of these opportunities pushed away to the side and not allowing free market, not allowing the art of being better at something than somebody else to prosper. And that, to me, becomes a sad state of affairs as well. You know, again, it's great to be of the rich. It's great to be wealthy. It's great to have it all. But when did the playing field become stacked, so far stacked against entrepreneurship, against the ability to go out and do that very thing of build and make a company? I think those are things that really are more important than anything else, because we've lost that art, the way that I look at it. We've lost the Steve Jobs starting in a garage and building up an unbelievable, the biggest corporation in the world. We've lost those things. And I think that we need to reevaluate and turn back into who we were, because to me, what we're seeing now is a scary, scary situation. And it looks to me like we're turning the world into robots. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. Make sure you check out our friends at Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. Also, to get The Bubba Show on demand, go to libertytalk.fm. They're free anytime. I'm going to step out of here for a break, and I'll be back right after the break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here in a couple.
Right, turn off the lights. We're going to lose our
welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you. And, you know, as we were talking in the beginning about some of the things have changed, and but you know, now as we look, when do you remember so many Fed officials being known? Who knew who the Fed officials were 20 years ago? Okay. Did you know who they were? I didn't know who they were. Now you know every one of them, because they sit there and they take turns opening their yap and talking. You would almost think that they were talking their positions. Almost. Again, I'm not accusing anybody of anything. Although, I think what they do is a little bit dirty. Okay? I think that what they're doing is contrived. I think what they're doing is manipulation. But when did you ever think, when did you figure you would know somebody? I mean, we knew who, you know, Paul Volcker was. We knew who Alan Greenspan was. But when did you know every single one, voting member and non-voting member? I'd like to know what the true purpose now of the Federal Reserve is versus what the true purpose of what they were supposed to be. I want to know where we lost touch and decided that the devaluation of our currency became the right way to move forward. You know, again, I'm not telling you that the fiat currency system, which is what we trade under right now or what we live under, is bad, or that the gold standard or some type of backed currency is good. I don't know, really know the true answer to all that. But what I do know is what we're doing right now is not good. That I do know. That doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out that the direction that we are headed here can only lead to collapse. Now, again, we've collapsed before. This will not be the first time. But do we not see the problems that exist? Can we not really, can you really not see how much manipulation goes on? I mean, you can look from any market you want. And again, we had, you know, we've got, I believe right now, you've got gold and silver manipulation. As the banks and everybody talk down that, I believe there's a massive accumulation going on. And all they're really trying to do is accumulate at lower prices. Does that not seem a little bit unrealistic and unfair? You know, we've gone from an age, and granted, you know, we are in a technology age where things happen so much faster. You know, again, I'm an old warhorse veteran of this business. And I remember when on Thursday afternoons, all of the traders would be standing on one screen because we all didn't have a pocket computer in our pocket looking for the money supply. That would have a dramatic effect on the market. I remember when the markets actually closed at 4:15 Eastern time, the futures stopped trading, and didn't reopen again until the next morning. I remember when we didn't have all the global information and everybody tied together under one roof. And I don't say that that's a problem, but I think the problem is because of all that, I think it creates more manipulation and more of the ability to push markets around, okay, which to me has brought these numbers that we now look for that used to have meaning no longer really have the same kind of meaning, because we don't care. Because what we see now is, oh, okay, bad numbers. Oh, that means that interest rates are going to remain lower, which means that we continue to borrow money at cheap rates and we can continue to build up that margin account as if we're trading, and we can try to continue to leverage up into the moon. Now, you know, we talk a lot about the ability to have leverage, and nobody thinks of what the downside of leverage actually is. Okay. You know, when you're leveraging up, okay, more than you can afford, or when the size of the move can break you, that's when you have to realize that maybe leverage is not such a good tool. Now, I like having the ability to leverage things up, but I don't like the ability to have people that are just purely chasing, we'll call it greed, okay, over-leveraging their own personal lives. Because, you know, if we go back and look at Bernie Madoff, now, obviously, he was a thief, ran a Ponzi scheme. But you do realize that if the markets did not sell off at those point in time, that that Ponzi scheme would have continued to grow. This is one thing that nobody talks about and nobody looks at. But without the sell-off, it doesn't create the demand for capital. It doesn't create the command for redemption. Okay? So had there been no demand for major redemption and had money still been flowing in, then Bernie and crew would have continued to operate. And don't kid yourself. There's a new Ponzi scheme out there every day. Okay? There's always somebody, you know, human beings, we have a nature that we want the easy buck. Okay? We want those big returns. Well, I can tell you this, that, and you've heard it before, there ain't no free lunch. And if the deal looks too good, it most likely is. There's very few of those spectacular deals around. It doesn't mean that they don't happen, but the more people are willing to give you on a return basis from the money that you're giving them, that always anticipates or always signifies that there is more risk to that deal. Okay, think about it for a minute. It goes the same until when you talk about dividends. Okay, great companies, solid companies, they don't pay big dividends. Now, granted, when you get a dividend, you're getting paid basically with your own money, but you are taking money off the table and the company is giving you a stipend to be involved and creating a reason for you to want to invest in their company. But most, you know, 2%, 3% dividends, you know, as a stock falls, the dividend goes a little bit higher because it's based on the price of the stock. But again, you look at a typical company, an AT&T or something like that, you know, pay 3, 4%, maybe 5%. As the stock rises, the dividend percentage goes down because they're giving out X amount of dollars. But when you start seeing, and there's many out there, companies that have 12, 13% dividends, well, you're taking more risk to get that 12 or 13%. There is not an easy way to get there. Those companies that pay more are paying more because they need to have the money. Okay. They need you to invest your money into their company. And that doesn't mean that they're not going to do the right thing. Again, just because they're paying a high dividend doesn't mean they're not doing the right thing. Doesn't mean it's a scheme. But the reason that you get a bigger piece is basically the company is borrowing money from you, the shareholder, so that they can operate their company. So don't kid yourself that because it's paying such a high dividend that we can just simply ignore the fact that the higher the dividend, the more the risk. Okay? That's really what it comes down to. The more they pay you, the more they need the money, the more they're going to put you at risk. Now, again, it doesn't mean they won't make it. I mean, there's some great bigger dividend companies out there. But again, they all have their moments, and we've seen it in the REITs and in the oil business of recent vintage. We've seen some dramatic drops, but those two will change, I would assume, the good companies. But at the end, the reason that you get more is because they need the money and they're looking for you to help, and it's their way of borrowing by having you invest in the company and offering you a bigger dividend. But always remember, the dividend you're getting paid, you're only getting paid back by your own money. The money comes out of the company, comes out of the stock when they do pay the dividend. Anyways, Get the Bubba Show on demand at libertytalk.fm. Every show is posted there waiting for you. We've got a lot of good things happening. We're really excited about the future. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. Make sure you check out thebubbashow.org to see what we're doing, because we're really kicking it. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and as has become a tradition and a weekly occurrence, we've got our friend Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, who really is laid out some of the plans and some of the things that we look at from a purely technical standpoint. And Matt, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How you doing, Todd?
I'm doing great. So, Matt, you had some pretty good calls last week. I believe that you said that you figured we might get a little bit higher. And we kind of rallied to where you thought, and you thought that the metals might see a little bit of pressure last week, and they did. So what do you kind of take us back to what you were looking at last week, and then tell us what we're looking for going ahead towards this week.
Okay, so last week, we got actually a little bit of a spike up on Fed Day in gold and silver, but they immediately reversed after the announcement, which more or less fit with what I was thinking. This coming week for gold and silver, I continue to project to lower prices. I would just stay short. If you were heavily short, you might lighten up a little bit here, but there is always that chance we can pop back up to the highs. But this is going to continue to sell off in the sort of intermediate term.
Why does that make you? Why are we thinking? Is that the charts telling you that we're going to sell off here?
Yeah, they are. It's a combination of the charts, which is my primary method. But if you look at the COT reports, they're heavily bearish, gold and silver. Silver in particular hasn't been this bearish for, I think, over a year. And that's referring to the, the big banks' positions. They're heavily short.
Right. Okay. So the banks are heavily short the metals, but is it possible that they're also hedged them against something else? Is it possible they're playing a little bit of a game?
I'm pretty sure that they are, but the correlation between the COT report with them being heavily bearish and then bearish action in the metals itself is pretty well defined. It's pretty one-to-one. So if, I think they are playing games, but I think the point of the game is for them to load up on as much physical as possible at lower prices, which they can create in the futures market.
Right, because as we've talked about here often on the Bubba Show, the big banks like to, I'm not going to say mislead, but in my opinion only, this is Bubba's opinion only, that the big banks tend to put out publicly the opposite of what they're actually trying to accomplish. Again, that's only me speaking. I'm not speaking for anybody else. So COT is commitment of traders, for those of you wondering what Matt's talking about. So, Matt, I know you've been heavily watching the DAX, and you've got a lot of things happening in there. What are you seeing, and what are you thinking?
Well, the DAX is a really well-defined pattern, and it's right at resistance right now. But this resistance, which is very critical, it's a rising line. It's a rising resistance. So it rises about 8 points per trading day. Without getting into a ton of detail on it, I've actually written an article about it and produced two videos to kind of explain where all the lines are and what I expect. But the Cliff Notes version is that we should get a sell-off fairly soon, and it could be pretty dramatic.
And when you say dramatic, what do you mean by dramatic?
Well, it projects down about 2,500 points, which for the DAX is about 22 to 23%. So that's a over 20% move. That's a bear market definition. That's a pretty severe move. And I think it will happen in a fairly short time, too.
So are you looking now? Again, it seems to me that the speed in which markets move now, either up or down, is much greater, A, because we're obviously at such higher levels. So a 200-point today move today is the equivalent of a 20-point move 20 years ago. So it just feels bigger. But also because of the flow of information and 24-hour trading, that's another reason that we see moves that get, taken out much faster. Does that lend any credence to you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the expected moves now, yeah, it's gone up by, two or three-fold, I would think. That's what I'm seeing. So it's actually, the volatility is great for trading.
Well, it could be great, but unfortunately, we get these big moves and then they stop. If you look at the Dow and everything else, the interesting thing I see is that from the August 24 low, the Nasdaq is up about 23 or 24%, yet the Russell is only up about 6%. Do you take any message from that?
Well, I think what's happening there, I'm not really sure what to take from it if we're thinking about it from a fundamental point of view, but what seems to be happening is as these funds are getting long, the headline indices like S&P, Dow, NASDAQ, they're simultaneously shorting the Russell 2000 and small caps. And that's keeping the pressure on the small caps. And it's also affecting, the broader indices because those are much, the Russell 2000, Wilshire 5000, NYSE composite, they all contain thousands of stocks, and their patterns are not looking great. But I think when we do get a sell-off, they may not be. I think when we get a sell-off, they may not fall as much percentage-wise on the next leg down. And I think that's because there's plenty of short covering to take place in Russell 2000 and those broader indices.
All right. So, what's your look now? The DAX is the German stock exchange, right? For everybody out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So, how does that translate to our market here? Do you think it'll have a translation?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't expect the DAX to fall 20 some percent, right? Without it affecting our markets and other global markets. It's probably all has, unless there's something specific that happens in Germany. I would expect it to, be across the board globally. And with that said, we have other patterns in other indices that are very bearish, more bearish than, 22%. Some a little bit less, a little bit more. DAX is sort of in the middle.
Okay.
And speaking of that, the article that I referred to, I'll have that up on LinkedIn and our Twitter feed and it'll be available for anybody that might want to request it.
Great. And Matt, what is your short-term forecast and what is your longer term? I mean, obviously right now we're in a very tricky time because, usually most of the time, we even in the depths of lousy markets, a lot of times we get what they call the Santa Claus rally. Is Santa Claus coming to town this year? Is he coming from lower prices, or do you think that we're going to kind of stay up here and kind of move forward? I mean, we've only really got, from a trader standpoint, you've really only got about another 5 weeks of trading for the year 2015.
I think we might be on a major roller coaster. I think that we might have an immediate, we still may have an immediate drop down to the lows and then a rapid ascent through the end of December. That's kind of what I'm looking at. That's what I'm expecting. We may not end up getting to new highs by the end of the year, but I still think it's possible. I still think it's likely, but that would require massive moves to the downside and very rapid moves to the downside and very rapid moves right back up.
So if you were, again, and this is not, we're not holding you to this prediction, but are you potentially looking for almost another V-like formation in which we saw in August?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, to be brief about it. Yeah, I think we're going to get if we're going to get this drop, which I do think we're still going to get. And again, I could be wrong, and I have metrics where if we break certain lines, you know, hey, it's gone. But I do think we're going to have a very steep sell-off, probably bottom in early December, and then a rally that gets close to new highs, if not to new highs, by the very end of the year.
Okay, and again, that would kind of tie into everything. And what's your long-term, what are your longer-term charts telling you? Anything different?
No, long-term charts are saying we're going to go to significantly higher levels. And I'm kind of shocked by what I'm seeing because I don't know where the buying power is coming from. We were looking at record margin debt only a few months ago, and if that's the worst we're going to get out of it, then it's a little bit surprising.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, you know, record margin debt, as you and I both know, is not a good sign and not healthy. And in fact, we're making more record margin debts as we continue. But, you know, Matt, I mean, the stuff, your information is really solid. How does somebody, if they want to get hooked up with Demeter Research, do so?
Great. Yeah, they can go to our website. It's DemeterResearch.com. And they can take a look around. We have some example calls that we've made, and if they like what they see, they can sign up.
Great. And it's you know, we use the research. We like the research. It's technically based. Now, do you ever put your own personal opinion into any of the information, or is it all 100% based on exactly what you're seeing?
Well, I try to stay pretty objective about, you know, what the charts are saying. Because, for example, I am a, you know, gold and silver bug. It appeals to me as honest money, but, you know, I'll go ahead and short gold and silver, you know, if that's what your chart says, you know, tells me to do. But occasionally I'll throw in my own personal opinions, but mainly it's just very objective.
All right, and we got a few seconds left here, but just to make everybody understand, even if you're bullish anything, it doesn't mean that for a short-term trade based on the market footprint, you wouldn't take a chance or a shot to the opposite side of your beliefs for that trade, because that's what the footprints are saying, correct?
That's absolutely correct. Exactly.
Okay, so this has been my man, my friend Matt Demeter from Demeter Research, who always brings us some good information that really has to help you out with the markets. I mean, again, Matt, you bring a lot of good information, and we certainly appreciate having you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd. Had fun.
Great. That was our friend Matt Demeter, who does do a lot of great analysis of the markets. And of course, we want you to always be informed, as well as we want you to make sure that you are hedging your portfolio as we plan for the upcoming collapse of the market. Again, we're not creating fear. What we're doing is creating a way that you don't have to even think about when. Make sure you get The Bubba Show on demand at libertytalk.fm, and make sure you come back right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz bringing you on home on the range. And, you know, we talked about a lot of stuff today, and we had our buddy Matt in, who is one of the better analysts on the street, purely a technically based business in which he tells you of where he's looking at. And of course, he's looking for the DAX, which is Germany's index, to start to plummet. Now, again, you know, those are things that we look at, and we know that a collapse is near. But I always want to warn anybody from being trying to be a prophet. Okay, trying to pick or guess when the actual tops or bottoms are coming in. Now, bottoms and tops are parts of markets that are usually driven and forced. On the top, it's usually greed, which now, again, you know, I warn I'm not telling you that to get out. I'm saying I'm warning you to take a look at margin debt, for example. Margin debt is at record highs, and it is peaking. And if you look at a chart of margin debt, you will see that we are at all-time record highs of margin debt. And earlier today, we talked about it, but I want to just reiterate what it means. When you're borrowing money, it means you either don't have the money to invest, or you want to take advantage of the cheaper money that is available to you. That's all fine. But what you have to look at is, if you look at the worst case scenario, how stable will your account be? How much money do you have to suffer a drawdown? Because, again, even if the markets are going to go higher, there will be drawdowns. And if your leverage dictates, for example, in 2007 and 8, and, you know, obviously they were way over leveraged all the way up, but Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers, okay, they were leveraged at over 40 to 1, which means for every dollar move, let's say they were losing 40, okay? You have to understand where in your portfolio that cry uncle or that position is where you are over leveraged. Now, again, I'm a guy that believes if you use your credit card, and I use them because I travel, okay? I use them because they're good for keeping records, but I don't use them to buy things that I know that I cannot pay for, okay? I don't like the new lending practices. I don't like the Cabbage and the Prospers right now because they suck you in. They draw you in with the advertisement of cheaper money. Because those of you who would call one of those peer-to-peer lending places is somebody who's been to the bank and can't get the money. So you are now looking at there, and they'll give you that sucker rate that will get you to pick up the phone or fill out the app. And the 6% or the 5% that they were offering you now turns into that 15%, okay? And then you look at it and you go, well, geez, I really need the money. I got to have my business operating, so I'll go ahead and pay it. It's only X amount per month, so I can afford it. But you can afford it based on your circumstances today. If you're borrowing money that you don't have to pay back, now it used to be very simple when money was easily gotten, where you had a line of credit. And you knew that you were going out to buy goods that you had sold. So you needed what we call even a bridge loan. The line of credit would bridge you to when you collected on the money or the sales that you were making. Very much like factors. A factor is a company that buys companies' receivables. They charge X amount of dollars to do that. Okay, and they charge a percentage of your business. But they pay you right away so that your business can operate. Okay. Now, again, it's if you have the money, obviously, if you have the money, it's always good to not do any of that stuff because anything you give up is coming out of your pocket. But they have a very realistic spot in business because a lot of us don't have the money to operate. So we needed that line of credit that we were getting, which we are no longer getting from the bank at a reasonable interest rate, and to operate and to buy new goods that you know that you have sold. But again, you have to bridge yourself over because, you know, many businesses, you know, work not check to check, but, you know, they build, they've got payroll, they've got expenses, and then they've got a big expense, you know, if you're a manufacturer or you're in the closeout business where you have to buy inventory, you have to pay for those goods. You know, when you manufacture out of the country, typically those have to be paid for in advance. Well, if you're paying for something, you know, way in advance, and you need that money to work off your receivables or off of your inventory, you need to be in a position to do that. And many of us are not in that position. So we have to continue to borrow to make sure that we can bridge over to the next. And as business goes, we take profit, we build profit. But then, of course, we've got payroll. We've got payroll taxes. We've got benefits. We've got things that need to be done. So again, these are very legitimate reasons to be borrowing money, okay? And if you've seen, you know, Shark Tank or places like that, you know, they ask about, you know, how much sales have you done? That gauges if you're doing good sales, but your product that you're building is expensive to do those sales. As long as the margins are fine, you can get money. But again, at what cost is that money? And that is one of the biggest changes I've seen over the years, is the ability to get money at a reasonable level in which you feel comfortable at moving on, knowing that you're not taking a big bite out of the bottom line. And that, I think, is something that you have to understand, because again, many of us have been forced to use our credit cards trying to bridge that 30-day payment, but then we end up, oh, geez, I can't make it, I'm a little bit short. So now we pay some juice to the credit card company. Now they're charging juice, and they're not giving it away for free. I mean, they're charging, some of them are charging almost usury rates. Okay. I assure you that some of your credit cards are right up against the legal limit of the maximum amount of interest rates that you can pay. Very similar to the 0% financing, which, you know, we're coming into the holiday season, and I warn all of you, I know you want to buy gifts, I know you want to be there, but if you take the 0 for 90 or the 0 for 120 or the 0 for a year, remember this, okay? The things that they don't tell you is that if you don't pay on time or don't make the minimum payment each and every time it's due, that when that free offer, that free for 90 or you know, 120, same as cash, the interest at unbelievably high rates reverts back to day one, and all of a sudden, that TV set you bought that you thought you were buying for $600 is now going to effectively cost you $1,200 or $1,300 to make that purchase. So as the economy and as the world tightens up, I suggest that you stay away from those types of things unless you know that you have the money to pay. Because they aren't given, they're given ice in the wintertime. Okay? It's the same as the rent-a-centers. Learn to live within a budget so that you can learn to grow some wealth. Because if you continue to spend it all and spend more than you're making, you will find out that at some point in time, that will catch up to you. It's easier to save early and be prepared than to wonder what happened to you when it's time to retire. And that, the message of today is, be careful, invest, but invest wisely, save, don't go out on a limb to buy something that you know that you're not going to be able to pay for when the bills come due. This has been The Bubba Show. I want to make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. We are doing some great things in line with investing. We are teaching, we have a program now, how to hedge your portfolio, how to make sure the money that you have worked so hard to put away will be there at the end, yet we'll be able to benefit from any of the nonsense or silliness that's going on. So in other words, you'll participate to the upside, you'll be protected to the downside. Email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org and I'll fill you in on the details, or check it on the website. Make sure you catch the show at libertytalk.fm on demand. And until tomorrow, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you back here tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz.
That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. I feel it. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.